Online Podcast 228. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. Sometimes I say gentlemen. Gentle. Hello. Welcome to Online Podcast. And if you're new to this, you're listening to Online Podcast, and I'm John. If you have discovered me from somewhere else other than onlinepodcast.com, you probably wonder who I am. How could you possibly stumble into this particular podcast? Probably from Ustream.tv sometimes, or just elsewhere, iTunes or whatever. I don't care. But I want to say happy Father's Day to, slightly belated, it's Monday, and so Father's Day was yesterday. Oh, Jesus Christ! Sorry, that was my music coming in. I'm sure my guest is laughing right now. Anyway, we won't hear about our guest for a while, because I want to say happy Father's Day to my father. And I especially want to thank those of you who sent your well wishes and your positive thoughts my way, and also especially my sister's way. Of course, this show is pre-recorded, so I'm not sure what her current condition is, but I will let you know. I'll keep posting. You know, the reason why I want to mention this is because it's about 6 weeks now, she's been battling this thing. I don't want to go into too much detail, but because it's somewhat, you know, I want to keep it to a level personal, and therefore I'm not going to talk about it too much until when she's recovered. And I'm very positive that she will. It's just that I just want to keep that out while everybody's going through all this thing. I don't want to talk too much about it, but the end. So, but thank you to those of you who send positive thoughts and energy and prayers, if you do believe in that, my way and my sister's way. So thank you so much. But our focus today is actually on Father's Day, because yesterday was Father's Day, and you probably come back again to check out Alden's or Secret Simon's artwork, but today we are not going to talk about artwork. Today we are going to talk about personal stuff. We're going to talk about fatherhood with Alden, also known as Secret Simon. Hello, Alden.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
You are the guest of the month.
I guess so. I hope people don't get sick of me.
No, they won't. I think it's my job to see whether or not people get sick of you, but I don't think... we're going to talk about something entirely different from what we talk about, and then in a week or two, we will actually come back and revisit Alden's artwork, which has already been recorded several months ago. It's just that I'm so behind in putting those stuff together, so I'm going to have to work on that. However, this week... this Monday, or whenever you're listening to this, yeah. Oops, without, not
what
online,
do you
without
say,
my
young
burp,
man?
I'd say, excuse you, oh, daddy, excuse me, daddy. So anyway,
I would say, good job.
Oh, that was delicious. Oh gosh. So anyway, we're going to talk about fatherhood with Alden, and some of you, in fact, we're going to start the show by answering the question, not the exact question, but I'm paraphrasing because I don't have that question right in front of me, by Nick Thomas. During that the first part of your The Secret Is Out episode,
he was a little confused,
and you know, he might not have listened to the very old show that we had you, so, and it, probably not just him, you know, probably several people. But
sure.
I could have done a better job by quickly give an introduction during that,
my life
that
story
thing. Yeah, but the thing is, no, it wasn't quite about that. It was about your artwork. So we will do the clarification today. So the question was that now you have a boyfriend and you have children and you also have a wife. It was his confusion. So
I know,
clarify that for
modern
us,
day
you?
Relationship.
Big love. Ooh.
No.
All right. Well, why don't like you? That. Why don't I let you explain to Nick Thomas and also all the other listeners who may not know about that, and let you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, just real quick, because mm-hmm. I know this has been sort of what I've been known for a while. But
you want to move past that chapter?
I decided to come out of the closet, and after I had already gotten married and had two children, and was very depressed and very just wondering what to do about it all.
Okay.
And so I decided one day I needed to start being an active participant in my children's lives instead of being, you know, down in the dumps. And so I came out.
And that was how long ago?
February of 2005.
February 2005. Okay. And then you're seeing this boyfriend. When did you start dating or seeing each other?
I saw him. Well, I got divorced last year around August sometime.
August 2006.
And then it wasn't too much longer. I started seeing my boyfriend.
Okay, so right around that time last year.
In September.
September. And of course, you know, it's not like, you know, you decided to stop and immediately get a divorce. The process is long. It's not just like, oh, I decided today and then tomorrow I'll switch.
It took us a year and a half to get divorced.
Right. And I'm sure, without going into too much detail, I'm sure people, I'm just, you know, trying to think Oprah, what would the listeners wonder? So what is the situation right now, you and your ex-wife?
It's very friendly. It's very amicable. I mean, we talk to each other every day. We and I try and see the boys every day. I have two boys. And who we affectionately call monkeys, or at least I do anyway.
Yeah, I think we touched on that on the first show also.
And you know, I just try and keep it as close as we possibly can. I still live just a few doors down from them, and a lot of people sort of think it's kind of weird, but
right. But you know, I think
what you hear most of is these kinds of situations gone bad.
Yeah, very ugly sort of.
And so that's what people want to talk about the most.
It's probably for the benefit of the children as well.
It
definitely helped the children.
Have both of us involved still there. I'm certainly not going anywhere, so.
Right. And how is your boyfriend take the whole children thing?
Well, that's a very interesting question.
Should we go there or should we leave it out?
No, it's fine. It's a very valid question.
Okay. See, I'm Oprah.
Yeah, you are.
I'm the original O. Before the Oprah, that's on. You're the
you're Ongpra.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've been okay. Ongpra.
What was the question?
The question was, how's your boyfriend taking?
Oh, yes. Well, he was very, very apprehensive at first about starting anything. Just knowing the situation I was, and I was very upfront about everything. I mean, when I started, this is all very interesting because when I met him, just to try and meet some more gay friends, you know, because I didn't really have that many.
Right.
So I thought, you know, I should just go out there and just start trying to meet some people. And
That's how I met my boyfriend. That's how I met my partner of 9 years.
Yeah, but I certainly was not searching, you know, just, I can't remember how long it was. I think it was maybe 2 weeks after the divorce was final.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd obviously been separated for a lot longer, and it just, so when we got divorced, the day we got divorced, things just sort of went on. You know, after a couple of days, it was just like, you know, things are still back to the way they were, back to our routine that we had gotten used to. But I was determined not to get involved with anyone. Because I did not really feel that it was something that I wanted to deal with.
Okay. So you feel like that would be an additional level of stuff that you have to deal with?
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's
so you felt like you weren't ready for like a relationship yet.
I felt more like I didn't want to do this to anybody else.
Oh, so you were thinking about
that's what
about
it was
your,
more like.
You're thinking about the potential boyfriend.
I knew the baggage that I had with me.
Right.
And I was certainly not going to be hiding any of that, you know? And there had been a few people that I met, and, you know, while we were still separated, I hadn't been divorced yet, and I was just trying to make friends, and they were obviously trying to be boyfriends. And, but then, you know, I just came out with, well, I've got 2 kids also, and I'm still married. And that sort of nipped it right in the butt.
Well, okay, I just want to clarify for people who are thinking that this is not going anywhere. The reason why I asked that question is because it has to do with, you know, a gay father. Because
yes.
Oftentimes when you have children, and even though if you're divorced, it still is something that is in the back of your head anytime you want to meet somebody, especially from the gay community, who may not be father themselves, most of the time would be the case. So that's why I want to find out what is the thought behind that.
Well, I don't know about that. That may be true for maybe... You know, I would be curious to see how many gay fathers are out there.
I personally know of quite a few. They're still not the majority, but especially it depends. It depends. There are younger generation who are adopting children, and or who maybe have their biological children as well. But I do see more older gay couples who have their separate children also.
And what I see is a lot more people in my situation where they were actually married to someone, and so they have kids from that relationship.
Right, right. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I'm very acutely aware of those. You know, I find someone who's been through that, and I'm like, I'm right there with you, man. I know what it's like.
No, let's talk about that, because I think that's very interesting. How does that change? How does that make, or at least in your perspective, how does that make it different from, say, a straight, a heterosexual father?
It doesn't make any difference at all. I can't really, you know, I actually thought about this question before I started talking to you, because, like, he's probably going to ask But...
Because a lot of people would ask that question.
You mean, like, what would the differences in
raising
the children be?
No. Yeah, no, not raising the children, but actually going out and dating and all that. What would that be different? Yeah, having children. Because I know, you know, the father side, I'm sure it really doesn't matter because...
No.
Yeah, but right. But we'll go into that. But my question is, what difference does it make when it comes to your social life when you have children?
It hasn't made that all much of a difference in mine, but I know that there, for a lot of people, it's make or break. You know, it's like they don't want to deal with that. That's a lot of, you know, it's all about how separate you want to keep your worlds, because I'm not really. I'm having that problem right now where it's like, when I first came out, mm-hmm. and it came out to everybody, basically, mm-hmm. you know, or basically everybody who needed to know. Mm-hmm. And then it was like I wasn't living two lives anymore.
So it's a relief? You know?
Everything was just one cohesive thing. And then when I got out and I started not so much looking for dates, but looking for people to communicate with, mm. you know, people to relate with.
Is that part of the reason why you start listening to some podcasts?
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You start to realize that that I think there are a lot of gay men who just want to live that single lifestyle that just don't really want. I found it more often the case than not, and I don't know if that's because of where I live, if it's sort of like a party town where I live, or if there's a lot more younger people where I live.
I'm not sure exactly what it was.
I think it must depend on you know, if you go to San Francisco, you probably see a lot more people willing to settle down.
That's just because of the concentration of gay people. I think we should be fairly safe by saying that typically most younger gay men are not thinking about wanting to be fathers yet. I'm not saying not forever. Yeah, so that's the case for me. And so, yeah, I think it's fairly safe to say that.
If we're wrong, someone should tell us we're wrong.
Right.
And, you know, comment. Give us some more examples. Because,
right. And, you know, it's hard to say. I really think that it's an individual thing.
Yeah, it is.
I have met people who know for sure that they want to have children, and there are gay men who would not want to have children.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm thinking about this also. There are probably just as many straight people that don't want kids either.
That's true.
Because of they want a career instead, or they want, you know. So
let's get back to the question really... of what is did it make it. So it did make it a little bit harder, I would assume, when you have children, when you think mm-hmm. about going out and dating. Not for your case, not so much for your case. Because
some people are surprised. Some mm-hmm. people are like, oh, there's a story there.
Right. And a lot of people sort of prejudge you, right?
Some people are like, I don't care. I just want to have sex with you.
That's that.
You get a lot of that.
There's that. And, you know, when you put like, two males...
I don't see you anymore. You come over to my house, we make love, or, you know, and then you go home. I don't want to see you anymore.
The thing is, you know, when you put two horny males together, that's usually what happens.
And they wouldn't call it making love. I should reiterate that.
That'll be fuchk. You'll be fuchking.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, now go back specifically to your boyfriend.
My boyfriend. Okay, I met him, and you know, right off the bat, I let him know everything that there was mm-hmm. to know, mm-hmm. and we still started
working
dating.
On it.
So mm-hmm.
you still? What?
I mean,
sorry,
several times he was like, you know, I don't really know, and he still hasn't met them.
Okay,
and he still. I have to say that there has been a little bit of growth in him. I've seen a little bit of change in him. It's mm-hmm. been 9 months now.
Okay.
So, you know, our relationship baby has been born. And, I have noticed that he has been a little bit more receptive to the idea. He doesn't want to meet them until he meets her, though.
Okay.
Until he meets the mom mm-hmm. and has her approval, right. You know.
And of course, it's...
I think that's very... And I think that that's telling, that he's very...
was responsible.
He's very responsible and very respectful.
And he wants to do it for the good of everybody, not...
Of all of that. But still, going back to... I was talking about my world sort of colliding. It's like, it's now I've sort of gone back to, well, I go and see my boyfriend, and I have my life with my boyfriend. Oh. And then I go and I see my kids, and I see her, and I see some, and I see my family, and it's like they're all different.
Right.
I don't really, you know, I wonder if I have a different personality. Well, I wonder what, not so much a different personality, but I wonder if I act differently. I don't perceive it, but, you know, I think it would be interesting to see, like, when finally these people all meet.
Right. It will be like,
I will be a nervous wreck for one, but also... It'll kind of be like, you know, he does this kind of thing. He does. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But no, it sort of feels like I've gone back to a little bit leading those two different lives. Mm-hmm. I've not, because she knows that I have a boyfriend. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not, there's no secrets there, mm-hmm. you know?
Children? Probably not yet, obviously, since you
the kids met. Don't know, mm-hmm. but I, you know, that's probably forthcoming, mm-hmm. because that's really hard to judge. You have to judge every child differently.
Right.
You have to gauge them based on their maturity level and based on their development
How
level.
How old are they?
They are now 7 and 5.
7 and 5.
Yes. And the older one is, he's pretty quick on the draw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows what's going on. And I think part of it, obviously I need to do this sort of jointly with my ex-wife.
Right.
I don't really feel
as parents.
As parents, you know, I don't really feel that it's fair for me to just sort of blurt it all out, you know. It's going to be very difficult.
Right.
Because we come from two opposing viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he's being raised, that they're being raised, is the way that I was raised, mm-hmm. in a very Christian home, where you go and you go to Sunday school and you go mm-hmm. to church and you memorize Bible verses, and
this is right and that is wrong.
Somewhere in those Bible verses, there's ones that say men don't love other men. You know?
Uh-huh.
So
which we will go into in the future. I've already invited somebody to talk to me about that. We're going to go into verse by verse, and we're going to strip that all out and talk about that in the future.
So when it has to do with kids, though, it's like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of actually at a loss as to what to do in that respect. It would be a little different if I had a very strict belief system. Even if I was atheist or something, mm-hmm. or if I was Buddhist, or if I had some other something.
All right. What do you consider yourself? Are you still religious? Are you?
I am not religious at all.
Okay.
I have a very hard time reconciling all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even think of it in terms of the gay thing, because
right.
it's hard enough to sort of accept a spirituality on its own, you know, and to mm-hmm. think of it in terms of, you know, I know a lot of people consider their sexuality and their spirituality go hand in hand, and I can appreciate that. I have a lot of confusion and a lot of just not knowing where I stand in that realm of things, so I can't sort of impose a belief when I don't have one.
Right.
She has a very strong belief in what she believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where it's going to be very Interesting. It'd be having a challenge. That conversation.
It's also a growth, you know, it's a growth of all layers of relationship, you know, you and your ex-wife, you and your children, you and your boyfriend. And I think it just, you know, as time goes by, you would probably learn things and also try different things. And I'm sure it would evolve with the relationships around you.
Yeah, I'm sort of making a point of sort of mentioning him a lot around her.
Right.
Just so that she gets the point that he's not going away. This isn't going to be something that this is probably going to be something that we'll have to deal with. And I'm actually hoping that it's sooner than later, but I'm giving her that breathing room of she needs to want to do it on her own time also.
Right. I can hear that from the way you explain it, that you ideally you would want to be able to go back to that whole you as you and no separate roles, almost kind of. Not personalities, but separate roles as, you know, I'm the boyfriend and I'm the father.
More of an integration of, like,
a little bit of,
you know,
mix.
if we ever maybe someday wanted to move in together, or, you know, well, that would be it right there, wouldn't it? That'd be that would be figuring it all out. But as it is, he lives over the bridge to the south in Sarasota, and I we live pretty far away from each other. We live about 45 minutes away from each other, so we kind of have to make time for each other, and our schedules kind of revolve around, you know, my schedule's really packed because I have the days that I go and see them, and I have to watch the boys, and they come over every Friday night and, you know, spend the night. Mm-hmm. So, I guess your original question was, how is he taking it? Well, yeah. I think he's gotten a lot more used to the idea and willing to be around them. But at first, he was not at all. So,
but obviously. There's enough of the two of you to keep you together to come to this state where he's growing in with the relationship when it comes to...
We took it very slow.
That's good.
We took it very slow, but at the same time, it just felt very right all the time. So there was no step backs, you know?
Uh-huh.
There was no steps back. There was no... Well, maybe we should cool off for a while. Maybe we just sort of steadily saw each other, and, you know, now it's a pretty standard thing.
It's good. How old is
he? He is a staple in my life, so.
Oh, how old is he?
He is 28.
28, and you're 29?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. Very close there.
And our birthdays are both in August, like days apart from each other. And so it's, you know.
So we'll come back on Mr. Boyfriend another time.
Yeah, <we're...
laughs> we'll gossip about that. I was telling, did I tell you or did I tell somebody else that, you know, when you call it an interview, it's actually a license to be nosy? I think I probably told you that. Because you know, when you call it an interview, you can actually be nosy. So one other thing is, do you see a difference between, again, we go back to that question that we touched on earlier, of a gay father and a straight father, as far as being a father?
No. I don't see any at all.
No difference.
You know, I have to say, today I got a little bit, there may be, you know what, I'm always going to say now that I have to speak up for gay parents now, especially because today I saw, I forget where I found it from, but do you know who Mike Savage is?
Yes.
And he was reading what Mitt Romney had to say to a lesbian woman. Mm-hmm. And he basically... I don't understand where his hate comes from. It's very... I wonder if he has any kids. You know, maybe he does. And if he does, I feel sorry for them. He basically said that what he should have told that woman is that gay parenting is child abuse. And that it should just be completely condemned. And you know, as much as I see people starting to accept it, mm-hmm. And for it to be out there, then you see someone like that, and you're like, well, I can't just let that slide.
Right. Yeah.
Because, here we go.
It's a big slap in the face. Go ahead and read.
Gigantic, yes. Reacting to Romney's remarks, Savage said the proper answer would have been to tell the woman that gay parenting is child abuse. He stated, I need a conservative candidate all the way who would say to a gay woman, you know what, I'm very sorry for your children. I think it's child abuse for you to raise children.
Well, you know, that for me is pure ignorance, and I'm not saying that education would help those kind of people because they choose not to learn certain things.
And his whole thing was that it was making a mockery of marriage. But I latched more onto his aspect of child abuse. Of, you know, I think there are probably more cases of straight men abusing their children than there are of gay men.
Right. What would be, let's say, if somebody who has maybe doubts or just not exposed to this, you know, most of my listeners typically will be fine, but every once in a while it's out there, so there might be one or two or a few that may have doubts about gay parents, and what would you tell them? Why they are wrong?
Why would I tell them they're wrong?
Yeah, I mean, no, what would you tell them that they are wrong? Like, what is the thing that you would tell them in their face if you get the opportunity to? Because to me, it's very clear, but to some other people, because when you are a father to a son or a daughter,
well, that's
you
the
are
very,
a father.
That's the thing. It's like, if they're a fellow parent, actually, I think that they would have more of an insight. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it becomes from your belief system that you're trying to raise your kids with. It's from the values that you're trying to impart in them.
What about, do you?
I'm trying to, I am, so I would probably reply that I'm trying to impart a sense of tolerance. I'm trying to impart a sense of respect for fellow human beings, and that it's important to be active in a way that shows that they are loving people, and that that they're not just all a bunch of sick perverts. I really think that there's probably some kind of stigma somewhere that people have. They associate gay with sexual perversion.
Yeah.
And so they will automatically assume that if you have children and you are gay, that you are having, that you are dealing them in a way and that you would deal with other people, other adults. And, you know, it's that sense of fear that goes into that.
So the perversion is actually not on gay people, the perversion is actually on the other people who think that we are perverts.
But if they stopped and think about it, it's adult sexual perversion. You know, it's I don't even want to use the word perversion. It's adult sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very important actually to talk to your kids, even when they're, I think that my elder son is probably getting to the age where we need to start having an open dialogue about it, and mm-hmm. not just one sit down conversation where it's like, you know how you have dads giving their sons the talk,
right?
And you know, once they sit down and they get out the awkward training manual and you know, everyone sits there and doesn't want to look at each other, and you know what the heck.
Right, you want to
sex.
Be...
Sex needs to be.
It's a part of life.
It's yeah. a part of life, and I think that when it comes for me, I've already noticed myself talking about it in a very indirect way, because when they're young, their bodies still react mm-hmm. and have things like, "Daddy, it won't go down," you know, things like mm-hmm. that. And so you have to start talking about those things early on. I think the problem is that when you try and stifle that along with every other kind of view that there is, and I could go on and on about being open-minded, and how some people think that maybe open-minded means you be a pal to your son instead of being a father to your son. I think that's a big mistake too. I'm just as strict. I have just as many rules, and I have just as much discipline going on, probably as some very devoted, you know, Christian folk.
So let me ask you this question. Your family, is your family religious? Your background.
My family?
Mm-hmm.
I would say
upbringing?
My dad is, yes. Uh-huh. My mom is not.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been divorced for a very long time, mm-hmm. for as long as I can remember it.
Did you grow up with your father or your mother?
With both, actually.
Okay.
I mean, I'm finding the arrangement I have now with my children very odd, in that it's the same
wow.
sort of a repeat. you know, my mom picked us up from school every day, and we spent the afternoon with her, and she had a night job, so then she would drop us off back at my dad's at the evening,
mm-hmm.
and spend the night there. He would take us to school the next morning, and the process would repeat like that. And then on Friday nights, we would spend the night at my mom's house. So it's sort of very, very similar the way that I have them, because I pick them up from school after school, and I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What's your question?
What's okay. I have a new one. I was just wondering when, and this is, you know, has nothing to do with the homosexuality, gayness, and all that. When the moment your first child was born,
uh-huh.
I want you to sort of recap, or, you know, put into words, describe to us how it felt like. Was it a magical moment like everybody talk about? Was it a mixture of over?
My first child.
Mm-hmm.
He, well, let's see. Let me think about this for a minute. It wasn't a magical moment. It would be more like a magical 24 hours.
No.
She, okay, so she didn't, she had a C-section.
Uh-huh.
With both boys, actually. She had a C-section. I don't think he was late. I think he was right around the time. And we went in because she had sort of broken water, mm-hmm. I guess. You know, so we went to the hospital. And she hadn't really progressed at all.
No dilation.
No, not really. So they didn't send us home. But they gave her some stuff to Pitocin, I think it is, to that's supposed to speed along the process. Mm-hmm. And so we were there overnight, and she was definitely in some pain. Mm-hmm. And she was one of those, at first, that was like, you know, I'm going to do this as naturally as I can. I don't want to try and take the drugs. Guys. Well, after that night through, she was like, give me the drugs. It's not an exaggeration when you see, like, comedy skits of, you know, my mom, the Conehead movie, as odd as this may sound, when the Coneheads with Dan Aykroyd and what's her name from Third Rock from the Sun, Jane Curtin, and they the funniest part of that movie for my mom was the childbirth scene when they gave birth to the baby, because mm-hmm. she broke her water and it was a flood like through the entire. Yes, things were flowing out of the room. And she was just dying with laughter because she was like, ah! and there was all this, you know, childbirth and pain go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so my wife was like, at that point, yes, give me the drugs. And so she had some, she was... you know, put up, and they put the thing in her spine, and mm-hmm. and she was, oh, what is that called? An epidural.
Yeah.
Yes. And so eventually, the monkey wanted to come out. Uh-huh. She still wasn't dilated, and she still wasn't ready, but he wanted to come out. Mm-hmm. And so eventually we put a monitor on him, and every time that she was contracting, and he was pushing, and she was trying to also, his heart rate would get really, really distressed, mm-hmm. and he would, it was starting to get really kind of critical, actually. Mm-hmm. And so we got kind of worried. And so after 24 hours of all that, we were like, you know what, we just need to do a C-section. Mm-hmm. So we went in, and at this point, no one had really slept. And so I'm kind of like, and they went in, and the surgery was really quick, and it was really fast, and so for me, the moment was more of surprise of seeing the baby come out, and he was like, do you want a picture of it? And so the doctor went and took some pictures of, like, everything. You know, this is a big change. My dad was telling me when I was born, he had just gotten his camera, and it was a really big deal to go in and take pictures.
Because you're not supposed to?
Yeah. You know, he was, like, getting a whole lot of flack from that. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, surgeon was like, here, I'll take some snapshots for you. I'll get in here. And the elder monkey turned out to be a Conehead, actually. Because he had been squishing so hard.
I see, because of
that. His cranium was at least twice the length that it should have been, at least. It was hilarious. And so I was like, whoa! That was my reaction when I first, you know, it wasn't elation. I wasn't crying. I wasn't, you know, I was like, whoa, that's kind of cool, actually.
Shock and amazement.
Shock and amazement. So, actually, I was, it may have been because I had been up for so long. And
you're loopy!
But I was like, okay, this is cool. I can deal with this. This is all right. And, you know, and he let off his little cries, and it was great.
When was the first connection with the child? I know there's this whole childbirth thing, but your son, when was the first connection? I don't know if you remember, but...
probably when he started laughing.
Oh.
He was sitting in his swing.
Oh, crap. Something happened. Oh, my gosh. I just lost the connection. I'm going to try to call that again. Oh, my gosh. That was so interesting. We will recall him back. Let's see. Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Just lost the connection. So, The baby.
What was I saying?
You were saying, I was asking what was the magical moment. Like, when did you feel the first connection? You were saying the first time you laughed.
Yeah, because babies are weird. Babies are aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They look like aliens.
Coneheads.
And they act like aliens. They do. Mine was a little bit more of an alien than most, I think.
And especially for you. You were 22?
I was 22. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was 22. And
he was on the swing?
And I think it was when we first put him in the swing and he was looking all around and then he just started looking at me and started laughing.
Oh.
And laughing hysterically. He was like... It was really funny. I think that actually I got that on video too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I think really that's the first time that, you know, as far as an interaction or a connection, that it's like he was looking at me and I made a funny face.
How old was
he?
He
was swinging. And, oh, he was only some months old. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly.
So very early.
That's why I video. That's why I have video, and that's why I have photographs.
Right.
So I don't have to remember dates.
You can go back and check that out.
I don't know what I would do without them.
Make sure you back them up.
Right. Exactly. Well, no, that was before I had anything digital.
Yeah.
Really. I have lots of tapes, and I have lots of negatives.
Digitize them and then put it elsewhere. I'm paranoid. So, what about your second child?
My second child was also a C-section. He was just not going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I think he was a few weeks late, and he was like, nope, not going to do it.
As opposed to your first son.
My first son was like, okay, I'm coming. I'm coming now. I know you're not ready, but I'm coming now. Here we go. Kind of hurts. Get me out!
Conehead!
So my second son, the younger monkey, he came out and he was no problems at all.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hospital a lot longer afterwards from recovering from the C-section with him than she was the first. She went home after a couple of days with the first child. But... Mm. But at that point, two doesn't mean double. Two kids is like exponential. Okay? It's more like, it's a lot more than twice. It's a lot more than twice as hard.
Oh, wow.
And this is why parenting requires two people. I am... convinced of this. You know, if you have more than one, then you probably need one for each child, at least. And at that point, you know, it's really interesting about this.
They're 2 years
apart. They are
1-7, 1-5. So 2 years apart.
Year and a half apart.
Year and a half. Okay.
Yeah. So the thing is, when my second son was born,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those feelings of, oh my God, what am I doing?
As in terms of what?
Started to come into play.
And like overwhelmed by having to take care of children or what?
No, not so much that part. The whole fatherhood thing was actually... not so difficult for me to grasp.
Uh-huh.
It was like, okay, I've got kids.
Is it the sexuality thing that comes in?
That's when it really started eating away at me.
Right. And you're growing too, right? You know, at a younger age, and you're still discovering and learning about yourself.
Yeah, you know, it really started to impact my everyday life, and it really sort of thrust me into a very deep depression.
I can imagine that. You
know, my ex-wife was like...
Of course, you can't talk
to
anybody,
talks about
right?
when... Huh?
And you can't talk to anybody.
No, and I don't mean to keep bringing this part up, but this was a very big part of it, mm-hmm. of why I did eventually make the decision that I did, because it was impacting me so much that I couldn't function for anybody.
Right.
And I couldn't be a dad.
Right.
I couldn't. I would come home and I would just not deal with anything. You know, I wouldn't. I knew it was really bad when my elder son said to mommy, and I could overhear him one night. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that they don't know what's going on when they're young, but he couldn't have been more than 3 or 4. He's like, "How come Daddy doesn't smile anymore?"
Oh.
And you know, something like that.
Wow.
That just really not only rips your heart out, it slaps you in the face.
Right.
You know?
Was that the trigger of a turning point, or at least?
I think so. It's like, and it's at that point I started looking around me and looking at, looking for other gay dads.
Right. Somebody to talk
maybe
to.
Maybe someone connection. In the same situation. And because I didn't know anyone in that situation. And it's not something that I ever heard about. It's not something I ever heard about, and it's not something I ever looked for either, because I resigned myself. I said, this is the life I have set before me. This is my path. This is what I have. I will do the best that I can to try and stay like this. And so I was, you know, I was being all ex-gay, and I didn't even know it.
So
I was putting myself through my own ex-gay camp.
Yeah.
That's
your life, and you just deal with the best you can of what you've already done.
And a lot of people do that still.
I know. And that's the reason why we have this conversation, is because I am very convinced that at least one person can identify with what you've been through.
But the point is, when I did come out and I started talking again, and I started, people around me were just like, he's alive.
Right.
And my relationship with my kids got a zillion times better. I mean, all of a sudden I was fun daddy. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it was like, who are you? And where have you been?
This is right around, this is after the second child was born. How long after that?
He was born in August 2000. No, this would be a couple years.
So, but
this
right
would be
around
a couple years worth.
Right around his birth was when you're starting to struggle with the whole sexuality thing.
Yeah,
but it took
because
you a
I
while,
even
obviously.
Asked her. I even asked my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Well, did you sort of? It's like, you know, when the younger monkey was born, you just weren't there. Mentally, physically.
She said
I mean,
that?
Physically, I was there. She said that to me. I mean, when I asked her after the fact,
uh-huh.
I was like, you know, I've had conversations with her about what it was, and she, you know, she said that she did the best she could to try and support me, but it was like,
well, how could she?
She's glad.
She didn't really know what the cause was.
At least
not openly.
Yeah.
She may have.
If she did, then she didn't want to make it a reality.
Why should she if you're not? Right?
Exactly.
So, did you manage to find somebody to talk to?
I found blogs.
Ah.
That's what I found. I started one. And then I realized people started emailing me,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, I'm in the same situation. I'm like, where have you been?
so you
where are you people down here?
When you say you found blog, you found blog in general, and then you started blogging, or did you find...
I started blogging about what I was doing, and then all of a sudden people started to do their... You know, I'm sure I'm not the first person that started to do it, but I didn't really find anyone else who had. And then I found them after the fact, and just like,
where
wow.
were you when I needed
so,
you?
You know, actually, no, I don't say that because I really don't, because it's like, I'm really glad it went this way because it gave me the courage. Who knows what might have still been going on?
Right.
You know,
right.
I
the growth is different when you have to go walk through that yourself.
And everyone's situation is different. I can't tell you how lucky I am to know my ex-wife and the people that I am surrounded by. It is just it's a really good lesson in compassion that you don't see. Yes, we have our differences. Yes, we have our different beliefs. But she's a good example of how we can coexist.
Right.
You know? And I don't doubt that we're going to have more intense, maybe even... The other thing about our marriage is that we never argued, ever, about anything. And now that everything's all out and in the open, it's like we don't have any problem with telling each other what we don't like. Which I think is probably, you
healthy,
know, what
right?
a lot of married couples need to do.
It's easier when you're not bound by a marriage.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
So,
you know,
so
I feel like I'm an example, but I'm like the anti-example.
Did you
also.
Think? Did you? Well, yeah. Just being yourself sometimes could be an example, good or bad. You know, let people pick up the other parts. The thing is, did you feel like the whole never argue thing in the relationship was actually sort of a bad thing, that you keep everything away from each other? Okay, so that's what you meant. Not like you. There's no conflict at all. Perfectly fine. It's just
we just gotta make it happy for the children.
Right. So.
Yeah, that's part of why
it becomes a fake facade. So you just never, for the good of the children, you just never talk about it. Pretend
like
everything was fine.
And there's a difference between having blowouts in front of your children, though, and being violent, and being and having screaming matches. You can argue, you can certainly
disagree and
that's perfectly normal. And I think that. You know, you're going to have that with your kids. You're going to have those days where you're not agreeing with anybody in your family at all.
Here's another thing that I don't think there's a right or wrong thing. The whole thing about getting married and coming from a background that you don't know that you are gay. I'm saying that because I have a listener who wrote in to me. And that's a reason, that's a whole drive of me continuing doing what I'm doing, no matter how crappy sometimes I feel stuff that I put out that could be, when I'm talking about myself especially. But there are, I have a listener who wrote to me that he watched Brokeback Mountain and then called off his wedding. And a lot of people were saying, yeah, Brokeback Mountain, and they were like all laughing about how it wasn't even played by gay actors and all that. But I felt completely differently because it touched me in a way that I never thought of until I heard from this listener. Through a movie, he realized that, oh my gosh, I'm actually in the same situation. And of course, he did that before the marriage. And so, what is it? I'm sure there will be younger listeners who may be going through what you have been through before. And it's unfair for me to ask you to tell your own part on what you should have not done, because nothing can be undone, and things happen for a reason, and you are who you are today, married, divorced, have two children for the path that you walked through. But do you have anything to tell people, other people who are in that situation where they may be coming from a background where gay is not an option?
You mean if they're involved?
Right, if they're involved or dating somebody, and just because they, because I'm telling you this because I have a bunch of Asian listeners, and in our culture, you please, and mm-hmm. you especially please your parents, and being a son, you have to carry your surname, your last name forward to the next generation, and a lot of people are doing that. For that reason, but what do you want to tell them, having gone through the path that you've gone through? Is there anything that you could say?
The only person that matters that needs to know is the person that you're involved with. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I wasn't going to tell anybody except my wife.
That's the most important thing.
I mean, you need to... People feel very sorry, and even, you know, they criticize people for being living in these hypocritical lifestyles, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that they're stuck, and it's not an easy thing to get out of.
I know.
the only person that really matters is your partner, is the person that you're in this relationship with. I hate to say, tell your parents to butt out, but especially when it comes from a cultural standpoint like that,
right?
You know, where they're expecting some things to do that. Mm-hmm. But I can't sit here and say that living that kind of life is going to make you happy. You can get used to it. I couldn't get used to it. Mm-hmm. I know there are some people who probably can.
Yeah.
I can't outright say that there isn't. But you need to discuss it at least.
Right. The thing is, they would not be as happy as they potentially could be. You know, even
you know
they
what?
May...
I don't even think that this is. If they're in that situation but they're feeling happy, mm-hmm. why is there a reason to change it then?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
It's like you need...
Then that's not a problem.
Well, that's not what I'm trying to say. because I think it is important for people to be true to what they are.
Uh-huh.
But you do what you need to do to survive as well.
True.
And I think that those lines and those stories, there are a million of those stories out there.
And you decide for yourself.
And they're all completely different. And we can get up here on soapboxes and say and yell and scream about what's right and what's wrong and what's hypocritical. But we're dealing with fellow human beings here. Mm-hmm. I think that there needs to be a modicum of compassion that goes along with it. I think maybe that's what's missing from people who are too quick to judge. You know, I'm not, and I don't have the answer. I can't tell you. Actually, I don't have the answer. I couldn't tell you what the right thing to do is. I feel that what I did was the right thing to do in my situation. Mm-hmm. But I cannot pretend to know all the ins and outs and details of all of those situations out there.
Right.
Yes, it's important to be out. Yes, it's important to have a presence, to have a vocal presence. Yes, it's important to be a dad and identify as gay at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, to put those two things together mm-hmm. that seemingly some people want to condemn mm-hmm. and to provide good examples of that. Yes, it's important to do that. I don't think that everybody can.
Right.
And so if you can't, if you have to stay where you are, then you should at least try and find somebody. Who you can confide in and who you can just blow steam off. You know,
because you've been
It's very, it's a very sad thing.
Yeah. I know, and that's why we're talking about it, and that's why I'm very appreciative of how candid you can be.
I would be glad to listen. In fact, I have. I've had many people just email me, and they've emailed me anonymously, and they said, I found your blog, I sat down, I read the entire thing all the way through,
and
it gave me comfort.
Right.
Just to know, I'm still here, I'm still living this life, I don't know what's going to happen, but I am taking each day as it comes. And that's really at the end of the day, if you make it through the day.
So it comes down to you yourself, what you are looking for and what you can manage to handle.
I think that people forget that, yes, you have to work within... There is an art to working in what you have been given or what you have created. I am fortunate that I am not a celebrity. That's all I have to say about that.
Everything got blown up bigger.
Yes, exactly. I'm fortunate that I am not scrutinized under a microscope. Yes, I did blog about it. And yes, I feel that it did reach a very small amount of people, you know, it got around. But I'm very happy that I'm not a celebrity. That's all I have to say about that.
What would you want your children to remember you as? I mean, the father, when they think of daddy, what do you want them to think of you as?
Somebody who was compassionate. Somebody who didn't... who is someone who they could appreciate eventually that I was rough with them. Or that what they perceive as being strict. Mm-hmm. I think that discipline gets a bad rap these days. Mm-hmm. But I certainly... I love my kids, but when we go out and they give me the attitude... It's sort of like, oh, hells no.
With a wave of the finger.
No. Well, it's not like that. I don't really know.
That's why
know
I don't have children.
You don't really, actually, you don't really know what it's like until you...
That's true.
You
That's
play
true.
Back, you know... what it's like when you're angry, because you're going on emotion right then. You're not paying attention to what you're doing. So it's that mix of like keeping them in line and doing it in a way that will not traumatize them to the degree that they'll claim that they'd been abused or something like that. You know, I think that's a really big problem too. I don't know how much of... I think a lot of child abuse does happen, and I think that maybe parenting has sort of become a lost art in that respect, in that they don't know what to do with their children, and so they're just fed up.
Throwing emotion back to the children.
They're right. Throwing the emotion right back at them. And
it's not easy, isn't it?
No, it's
being
not easy. And it takes...
Do you think that... Sorry, it takes what?
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, do you think that because you have an extra level of the sexuality part that you have to deal with, you have to deal with those people who do not get fatherhood or parenthood and homosexuality, do you think that compared to your straight father friends or peers, do you think that it's even harder for you to be a gay father? Not to, there's no difference for the child, but
right
to the society. You probably have a little extra hurdles, don't you think?
I think I've been really fortunate.
But potentially.
I'm potentially, yes. In fact, this last year, when the elder monkey was in first grade, mm-hmm. I sort of tried to make my presence sort of known in his class, you know, be around taking pictures all the time, following them to things that they did. And I thought about, like, I wonder what these people's parents would think about that. I see how the kids react, and the kids don't care one way or less. They really don't. And so I think there was some kind of nervousness. It's more nervous when I get around people who have other kids, mm-hmm. I think. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm worried about what they're going to think of me.
Right.
What their parents are going to think of me. Even if they never know and it never comes up, mm-hmm. which really, you know, it shouldn't.
But we have a long ways to go before that. Those sort of thought would even be a problem.
You're exactly right. Yeah. So, yes, I have apprehensions about getting along with other parents who my kids are interacting with their kids. And it's not really a problem. It's more like just really nervous and really apprehensive.
You're concerned mostly for your children more than it is for you, really.
I'm concerned that they will definitely be, you know, they've not yet spent much time around other parents and seeing other viewpoints, you know, spending the night at other places and maybe getting hints of their values and in the way that they're raising their children. But then I probably wouldn't let my kids go to someone who I thought was a homophobic jerk.
Because that's, you know, teaching them. Yeah, that's teaching. That's part of your discipline. And
then he'll wonder, well, you know, yeah, it is. It's a lesson that if that ever comes up and I could say, well, you know what? Daddy doesn't quite agree with your friend's daddy because he doesn't want he's not showing a sense of tolerance that I feel is important. Mm-hmm. And or something like that. I don't know the exact words that I would say.
The key thing,
but we also haven't run into anything like that.
Right,
so.
Right. And of course, you know, it's a learning process throughout. That's life, right? Before we wrap up, I just sort of felt like the key thing that I talked to you tonight and the main theme that I hear or that I picked up from this conversation is compassion for people. And it seems like the world is so lack of compassion. And just look around. I'm not even talking about the war. Just look around your own level, the very surface level here. Friends, co-workers, there's very significantly lack of compassion. There's no, let me try to understand his situation or her situation. Mm-hmm. It's just jump right, that's because that's that, and that because that's that.
I think that people get very caught up in matters of, well, if he's got a gay dad, he's not going to be masculine. Mm. And things like that. You know, I think that gender roles and sexuality becomes something that you get caught up on instead of moving forward. And, you know, not every dad is going to be macho, masculine He-Man. Mm-hmm. And I know lots of dads that are very, very worried about that.
Right.
So far, it doesn't seem to have changed my son's being a boy.
Right.
You know, in the in the way that you want to define what a boy is like.
Right.
He loves
behaviors.
He loves G.I. Joe and Legos, and he loves battle, and
we should be striving for the point where, what if he's not? Who cares, right? It's their kids, their children. You know, that's because it's the adults that want to fit them into a pink box and a blue box,
right?
And
exactly.
It's very unfortunate. And I really like seeing parents of my friends who really brought up their children without me. For instance, I'm very lucky to have grown up in a family where my father is very into sports. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say like super uber macho, but he's you know, he does man activity, I would call it, which I hate. Like play sports and all this, watching soccer. I was like, I want to watch Madonna's concert, you know. In that environment. But I'm so lucky, and with my mom too, that I was never corrected. I think on last year's National Coming Out Day, I put out a video of me in this pink sequins dress. It's this I put that on and I pretend like I'm doing Chinese opera, and my mom would enjoy looking at me perform. And my dad doesn't care, he doesn't mind. And so I felt very lucky that I grew up in a family, even though we're Catholic family, we are a Chinese Catholic family, mm-hmm. I get to just be myself. It didn't help me with the whole religious background that I actually get to grow up to be proudly gay. No, I struggled with that. I dated one girl, and discovered that myself, because we just never really talk about sexuality and never talk about, even think of that as an option. And so I sort of put the pressure on myself. You know, I could have easily, if I didn't have the religious background that taught me the other way around, or just the society that taught me that way, it would be a lot easier, especially coming from my family, because there's no pressure at all from my father. There's no pressure at all from my father. Like, do you want to play volleyball? I said, no. That's it. That's how far we would go. And I remember my dad was a volleyball coach, and mm-hmm. he taught volleyball in grade school, and then all the high school kids when I was in high school who were training volleyball were actually used to be my dad's students. And then I would be like a sissy when the ball comes, I would run and scream, you know. and proudly so, don't throw me a ball, I just don't like it. And so it's very interesting, and I'm very glad, and happy Father's Day to my father for not trying to make me into somebody that I'm not. And to both sons, you know, my brother and I were both gay, and we're both not into sports.
Yeah, well, my son very much is, I think. I think he likes football a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a little bit of a drama queen when he gets hurt. But still, you know, I think that just goes to show, they're going to do what they're interested in.
Right.
What my dad was, I mean, he was into sports too when he was younger, and he was a baseball star when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then he grew up to be a musician. And
oh yeah, my father's an artist. My father's an
right.
Artist.
Yeah. And right now I can see that the Elder Monkey is really starting to emulate some of the artistic things in me.
Oh, very cool.
But still, at the same time, he's maintaining those very masculine qualities. He's probably a lot more masculine than I ever was as a child. And, you know, where is he getting that from? It's probably, he's not seeing me as someone who likes sports.
Right.
He's not seeing me as a very forwardly physical person like that. But I know that it seems to be just innate in his character. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that my impressing upon him art and music and all of those things that you want to call, you know, high culture or whatever, is doing anything to change that. I am so glad that my dad instilled music in me. I mean, it's, I think the connection with my dad there is, that's our connection.
Yeah.
Is the music. And,
oh yeah, you told me that you make a CD compilation.
For Father's Day now, I make a mixed CD for him every year. I started doing that some years ago, and then he listens to it, and I find out what he likes on it, and it's all stuff that I... So now every year, as I'm listening to new music, and looking for new music, it's like, I wonder if Dad would like this. That's usually the second question on my mind after, boy, this is really cool. Or, you know... So I try and compile something, and then he listens to it, and most of the time he's like, where do you find this stuff? And it's like, I would have never listened to this on my own. And so I think that it's really, but in a way that he's like, I like it. So, you know, I like that we're able to share our tastes with each other that way. And that's sort of the connection that we have.
That's very cool. So your relationship with your father, how is it? Is it maturing? Does it change as you're becoming a father? Do you appreciate things that your father did more now that you're a father?
No.
Okay, thank you for the honesty.
Do I have to be honest? Yes.
Oh, yes.
No, I feel like I'm having to teach my dad how to
be a father.
Be a grandpa.
A grandpa?
It's really strange. My kids were born, and then it's like he completely forgot what it was like to be around babies. It was like I never had a childhood or something. And he, you know, grandparents will do that. God, you know, you love them. They just want them to behave and have fun. And right. And more than once he tells me, you know, gee, I just don't know what to do around the younger monkey, because, you know, partially because he's autistic, but it's like he doesn't remember what it's like to have children. So I'm having to be dad to my dad. This is how we get along with it, because he asks me all the time. I think he sort of, at first he's like, he really was kind of exasperated with when I asked him to watch the boys and things like that. But he's getting a lot better now. Maybe they're getting older. I don't know.
Is there one thing that you find yourself doing that is, wow, like a mirror image of your father when you were a child? Do you know what I'm saying? Not just like as a parent, but things that you do like, oh my gosh, that's like my dad.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there is.
Just can't think of it right now.
I think that it's difficult because we hold different beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And he holds his stubbornness. Maybe it's the stubbornness.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, there you go. On different beliefs, but the same passion, same level of passion.
Actually, you know what?
What?
For as much as he is ingrained in his belief system, in his religion, and his Christianity, I know for a fact that he questions it all the time. And that he just doesn't know what to do.
A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. And I don't think that he... And I see glimpses of it. And I know that I am probably a lot more have it out on my sleeve and showing it. But I know that he takes it really hard. And that in the confusion of having a religion. and a relationship with a God and something like that. You know, actually, so I think that's something that we share. And I think that's probably why he doesn't call me on it so much.
Right.
Or make it a gigantic blowout topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. So as much as I don't think he's open to what I have done so much, I'm pretty sure he wishes that I would just come around and be straight again. I'm serious. I'm really convinced that he just hopes that I will one day just snap out of it, snap out of the phase.
Wouldn't that be easier to him?
Yes.
There's a lot of people. I think that's a very common thing. For a lot of parents, and very soon, hopefully in the next few months, I did have somebody planned for Mother's Day to talk about being a gay a mother of two gay sons. Mm-hmm. I arranged that, and unfortunately, her brother passed away, and she had to be He was sick, very sick then, so she had to go to California, that we actually had to miss that for Mother's Day. But I'm going to have her back, and because I would really be interested in talking about that to people like your father, to people mm-hmm. like Irene that I'm in touch with right now, to talk about what is it like to be the father or the mother of gay children, or a gay child. That's tough enough, I think.
Yes.
So, well, I want to thank you again for sharing all that personal stories of yours.
Well, I hope it wasn't, you know, I'm always self-conscious about what I'm saying when I'm trying to say something remotely intelligent. So I hope I was.
Well, you were, and I think every single story that you tell is intelligent to someone. And you know, we're not out here to please anybody. You know, I have no ratings. I could care less about, you know, iTunes ranking, whatever you call it. Let me tell you, I have, and I know Archer from Archer Radio would probably understand that, I don't have many listeners. But those who, I don't have the pressure of you know, losing listeners. I mean, I appreciate having more listeners, but that's just merely because I feel like the stories that I sometimes myself tell, or I ask people like you, is worth sharing. And I think as long as there's one person out there who, and I know that for sure there will be more than one person, who finds something in it, you know, it doesn't have to be a life-changing thing. Mm-hmm. In Chinese, we call it gongming. What is it called? It's like it's like you find that the mutual understanding or connection, the mm-hmm. connection. If you find that connection, and then that the job is done. So I really appreciate people who come on the show, and you know, you, several others who come on the show and openly share their stories and their struggles, and especially specifically when today is being a father, and especially being a gay father. Thank you so much. And I already have ideas on other shows, but I'm going to save that. we won't do it all in the month of June.
Right.
We'll save it for later. As long as you are still willing, there are other things that we can talk about.
I'll talk to you anytime you want, sir.
Thank you so very much. And then in the upcoming, maybe in 2 weeks, we should be getting I shouldn't say that because I'm thinking about cutting this into two parts. But we'll see. Maybe an hour and a half.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
I think you should keep it at an hour and a half.
I was like, should I cut this into two part and then post it on separate days? Maybe not. I think I'm just going to post it as one because I'm lazy. And it's Father's Day. We should celebrate that. Like, 1 hour and a half of Father's Day talk.
Yes, yes.
So that I don't have to do any editing because I would hate that. Okay, well, thank you so much. And I want to encourage people who haven't listened to your previous show, go back to to 7, which is the name of the show, is The Secret is Out. And go listen to the first part of his art. And then in the coming weeks, I will also be posting the rest of the that one is going to be heavy artwork. So if you have an iPod or an use iTunes to listen to it, it will be cool. I'm working out the issue on my enhanced player. On some player, doesn't play very properly. And so I'm working that out. But in the meantime, go check out the previous show. And then more artwork coming up, and that show we'll be talking more, focusing more on the artwork rather than his personal life.
Yay!
That's also fun. Thank you so much, Alden. And if you have any comment, go to onlinepodcast.com on the show or any other show. You can call 206-888-JOHN to leave me voice comment. Or you can also you can also go to Alden's website. What is your website?
SecretSimon.com.
He blogs there, so there's personal stuff there as well as some of your artwork, your sketches. SecretSimon.com or OnlinePodcast.com. And I hope you will join us again in the very near future for more of Alden. And thank you so much, Alden. I'll talk to you another time. And all to all the listeners, don't forget to smile, ladies.
Smile.
Bye.
Bye.